Neil, welcome to KNOM.
Thank you for having me, Ben.
Absolutely. So you're seeking re-election. You've been in the House since 2009. Can you tell me a little bit about your background, your experience serving in the House, and ultimately why you've chosen to run for re-election this fall?
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you. Yeah, a little bit about my background. I was born and raised here in Nome. You know, growing up, I spent a lot of time out in the villages. My family, we owned a air taxi service called Foster Aviation. And so I did a lot of flying out to the villages and you know, visit folks. And my grandmother, she was, my great-grandmother was born near Elam on the Tubituic River there. And my grandma was born in Haycock, which is just north of Koyuk. And so I spent a lot of time just flying out to the villages to visit, you know, relatives, especially Elam and Koyuk there. And then growing up, you know, went to college and worked as, after that, after I went to Stanford and did a little short stint at Oxford there, and then worked as a vice president of operations for about 10 years at Fitnessoc here locally, in charge of our local businesses. And I guess maybe just to kind of get from a high level on my background here, you know, kind of felt like I grew up in two worlds because, you know, on my grandmother's side, I grew up, you know, with a subsistence background, harvesting, you know, everything from moose and fish and ptarmigan and, you know, picking berries and greens to my grandfather's side, which he actually came from Oklahoma. And so I also spent summers mining. And he was also a pilot during World War II. And so I also became a pilot myself, not a commercial, but just a private. And just, you know, I've been doing this for a while now. I feel like I'm really good at it. My seniority is, I'm ranked number 2 out of 40 people in the House. And with that brings a lot of power to our district. And I feel like I need to capitalize on the momentum that we have and the strength that, you know, our district is currently sitting in to maximize, you know, what we can in terms of bringing home the bacon per se, and also fighting off things that are could be harmful to our district. You know, everything from, you know, power cost equalization attacks on trying to get rid of that. That's our energy subsidy for our region here. And so that's why I want to run is I feel like, you know, we're in a really good position and I just hate to walk away from that. So, yeah, thank you.
Yeah, well, thanks for getting into some specifics. I wanted to dive into more of them now. Talking about priorities, can you, off the top of your head, list a top three things that you hope to accomplish in another term?
Oh, yes, absolutely, yeah. Well, that's easy. You know, education is definitely one of those. Energy continues to be, and subsistence. And it's really actually kind of hard to pick just three, but those are three that I feel are fairly easy. And I feel like everything's a priority, but I have to elaborate on those three if you'd like me to just jump right into that.
Yeah, well, let's start with education. A problem plaguing Western Alaska is teacher shortages, recruiting talent to schools on the Seward Peninsula. How do you go about addressing that? And what sort of improvements do you want to see in the future?
From more of a higher level, everything starts with a base student allocation, which is the amount of money that we give per student. And the amount that the Nome schools were looking for was anywhere between $1,400 to $1,700 per student. I voted for both of those amounts, and there were amendments to increase it by that amount for the base student allocation. The votes in the House were for $680. The governor had, in the prior years, had vetoed the amounts that we had put in down to 340. So this year we put in, we had enough votes for $680 per student. And I very much support education in our region for a variety of reasons. Everything from what you just mentioned about the teacher shortage to ensuring that our kids have a diversity of classes to you know, making sure that they can do sports like basketball, so that they can travel to tournaments. And without this increase, they can do the travel. They're going to be in big classes. So I've supported the BSA increase. And I would say one of the things that sets me apart from, you know, my opponents is because I'm ranked number 2 in the House, that means I'm also in leadership. And I've been this year as a part of the leadership team that negotiated with the Senate, with the governor, asking him not to reduce, to veto down the amount of the BSA that we put in this year. And he didn't. And of course it worked. It required that we did a little bit of horse trading. But I was a part of that, and I was a part of making sure that we didn't horse trade anything away that was going to be adverse to rural Alaska. So from the big picture, making sure that we minimize teacher turnover is ensuring that the pay is good. And to do that, we have to have a healthy BSA. And getting down to more specific programs, we do have what's called the Grow Your Own Initiative. And that's an initiative that is largely targeted towards trying to get teachers in rural Alaska into teaching positions, because if somebody's from a village, they're more likely to want to stay there. And it's a program that I support during times when the state budget is becoming more difficult to balance because we're seeing declining revenues. You're going to see a tax on programs in the first place that oftentimes the 36 other urban legislators want to attack our rural programs, because there's only four of us in the House. And so it's been important that we protect programs. And this is one program that could go away if we don't have somebody who can stick up for rural Alaska. And so that's one of the programs that I very much support. And I think I've got the horsepower to be able to keep that going. I'm very proud, by the way, one of my cousins from Elam, she's a teacher. She now teaches out in Savunga. That's one of those just great stories of somebody who's now in the region, who's from the region, and who's teaching. So I would say those are, you know, really the two big things when it comes to education. And there's other things I can talk about too. For example, broadband, you know, we helped to get money in for that. That was a big fight we had. Don't want the digital divide to increase. But multiple fronts, but I'll keep it at those, the BSA and the program to keep our own. So.
Sure. And I know the BSA increase was something that officials here, both at the city and the school district, Nome Public Schools, were waiting on the edge of their seats to find out, you know, was that going to go through or not? You mentioned another key priority area for you is energy, though. Tell me what your priorities are in the energy sector.
Yeah, thanks for that. That's a big one. It's a big one in the sense that there's a program called Power Cost Equalization. Every single household only in rural Alaska is a beneficiary of this. And many people may not even know it because it appears automatically on our utility bills. And the amount varies by community, but it's as high as $2,800 per year of a subsidy that you see on your electric bill. And people don't pay attention too much. You know, when it was first put in place, people loved it. It was great. It helps every family out. I think it's been a long time since it's been in, people have come to expect it. But again, with declining revenues, you're seeing an attack on rural programs. And this is one of those. There's $1 billion that is an endowment, and that spins off the interest that earns. It helps to reduce our cost of energy. So again, every household upwards, depending on which village you're in or community, $2,800 per year. And so a few years ago, the majority leader came to me and said, Neil, I'm sorry, but we're going to tap into this fund and use some of that to help balance our budget. And I said, no way, it's not going to happen. And this year there's an amendment to also get rid of the PCE program. And because of the position that we're in, the rural legislators, you know, we're able to get enough support to push back on that. But it's only because we're in positions of power where I, as the co-chair of finance, you know, we're able to work with other people and say, look, I need your support on this, and I can support you on other things. And so we don't want that program to go away, power cost equalization. The other things I wanted to mention about energy, we put in money for weatherization. It's not popular with urban legislators because they're not big beneficiaries of it, but it's huge for us in rural Alaska. Again, there's only four of us out of 40, and so we're able to get money for that, as well as renewable energy. As I've been flying out, I'm sitting next to my airplane right now and hoping to fly down out to the southern part of our district. In almost every village I go to, they've got a wind turbine, and we still have to get all of them online with renewable energy. So it's important that we continue to put money into that fund. So that's another one. Bulk fuel upgrades, that's a program that's important because you need to have storage. And so we all have oil tanks in our communities, bulk oil tanks. And some years there's, you know, just some folks that want to attack that program as well. And so, and one thing that people may not realize, and that is that urban Alaska, in some respects, they need to be supported because our power cost equalization formula, the amount of subsidy we get is tied to their amount. So if they're paying a low amount, that means our subsidy is big to rural Alaska, down to the amount, close to the amount that the urban areas are paying. So they're seeing a gas shortage right now, and we're actually working with them. We understand what their problem is. They understand what our problem is, and we want to work together so it's a win-win situation for everyone. So, yeah, that's a little bit of the energy topic there.
But the third priority that you mentioned was subsistence. What are ways that you hope to continue allowing people to, you know, live their subsistence way of life in another term?
Yeah, one of the things that I like to convey about subsistence is how important it is in terms of being tied to the economy, because in Western Alaska, our economy is a cash and also subsistence economy. And for the first time in a generation, the fight over subsistence is rearing its ugly head. It's coming back. And the possibility of what's known as the Katie John case being reversed has huge ramifications. And already the administration fought a case in court that could have reversed Katie John. And Katie John is a case that provides for a rural subsistence preference. And if that case is reversed, it could have such, you know, horrible consequences for our villages that rely on subsistence. And so what happened is the administration went to court over a case that's down on the Kuskokwim near Bethel. They lost that case. And so now the administration wants to take that case to the Supreme Court. And so it's a priority for me because my intent as a co-chair of finance is I've got the ability to go and say, you know, I just can't give you provide. We have the power of appropriation. We have the power of the purse. And I can't give you the funds and the resources, the legal resources you need to fight this case. And if that case is won by the administration and Katie John is reversed, then the problems that we're seeing right now in our small communities where there's these closures every time you turn around will be multiplied, you know, multiple fold. And it's just a really scary thing that's for me at least to think about. And so I really want that to be, you know, one of my priorities is to stop that from happening. And so anyway, that's yeah. And the other thing I mentioned about subsistence is last session, I co-sponsored a bill that was going to stop large commercial fishing down in Area M, which is the Aleutians, during the month of June, to allow for some escapement of fish that are being caught as either intercepted or being caught as bycatch salmon that are bound for Western Alaska. I also oppose trawling. Trawling typically happens more in our federal waters, but we've been pushing our federal delegation to oppose the trawling. And we're doing whatever we can to try to get the numbers back up here in Western Alaska. And I go back to there's four of us in rural Alaska and there's 36 urban legislators. And so it's a bit of an uphill battle, but the way you overcome that is by getting yourself into, you know, these key positions. And so as the co-chair of finance, I feel like I'm well positioned to be able to do that. And the other thing I'm going to really be pushing for too is the subsistence board, the Board of Fish takes its marching orders from, the fishing game takes their marching orders from the Board of Fish. Right now, there is no mandate that any of those seven board members that are on that board have to represent a subsistence interest. And so I will be pushing to get at least two of the board members to be subsistence representatives. And so I think we could get the buy-off there because you'd have two subsistence, my legislation would say two sport, two commercial, and then one science-based, for example, NOAA. That way everyone's got equal shot, commercial, sport, and fish. Sport and commercial, and then you'd have a tiebreaker, which would be the science-based. And I tend to think that science tends to support, you know, our small fishermen. So anyway, that's where I'm at on subsistence.
Sure. And as you alluded to earlier, you do have one person at this time that has entered their hat into the ring to seek, unseating you. For District 39, this is a position I mentioned earlier you've held since 2009. This would be Tyler Ivanoff's third time trying to unseat you and seek election for the state House of Representatives. What sets you apart from him?
Funny story, if I could just say really quick, what also sets us not apart, and that is he is actually my cousin. We have the same great-great-grandmother. And I've met him, multiple times and very nice guy. But if I were to say, what sets us apart, I just got done talking about subsistence. And I'm not sure what the rationale was behind wanting to run on the Alaska Independence Party tickets. Because if you go to their website, that party is specifically against the type of subsistence that here in Western Alaska we enjoy under the Katie John case. Very much against, the positions that AFN have come out upon. And so, I that's not something that I, would want to do. And the only thing I could imagine was maybe just trying to pick up some of the independent, voters, maybe. The other thing I was going to say about what sets us apart, the big thing is really my seniority. I'm ranked number two in the House out of 40 people, and anybody new coming in is going to be ranked, number 40 or number 39 in the House. And that's going to set our district back. We'll have gone from one of the strongest positions to one of the weakest positions. Just, that's just how the system works, is everything's based on experience and seniority. And so as a co-chair of finance, I was in charge of the state operating budget 2 years ago. And I pushed through the largest permanent fund dividend in our state's history. It was $3,284. And so, because I realized that that's important for our folks in our rural areas here, where, there's the jobs just aren't as abundant as in our some of our urban areas. Power cost equalization, there's always an attack on that, our energy subsidy. And I've been able to push back on those because of, I'm also the longest serving co-chair in our state history, going back to our becoming a state back in 1959. Nobody served as a longer co-chair than I have, and that puts our district in a position of power to be able to advance our interests and push back against things that might be harmful against us. I would also say that I'm probably the most bipartisan person in the legislature. I have been a member of the majority with both parties for an equal amount of time, and that means that I work with both sides of the aisle well, and for me it's all about who is going to support me in my fight to support rural Alaska in our district. And so I'm bipartisan, and I guess my question would be, anybody else who wants to come in, it's going to take them at least 10 years to build up that seniority to be effective. And are they committed to stick around for at least 10 years? Or do they have the drive to keep fighting if they have opponents to stay in for at least 10 years so that we're back to, having a strong position in the House? So that would be what I would say is sets me apart from my opponents. And again, with all due respect, because somebody I actually like a lot. So,
is there anything else that you want to share with your constituents and the voters this November in regards to your reelection for District 39?
One thing I forgot that I wanted to mention, and that was senior benefits. Again, as the co-chair of finance this year, I was in charge of legislation. And I made it a priority because we have so many elders who are struggling to get by just to put food on their table. And so I pushed this program. It was due to sunset this year. It almost didn't make it through. I made it a big priority to get it through. It's up to $3,000 per year. It's more than a dividend for our elders, and it helps to pay for the food and electric bills and heating oil. And I made a big push to get that through, and we got that through. And like I say, you know, we're at kind of a crossroads here, because every year our revenue is going down as the amount of oil that's coming through the pipeline declines. And so everybody's fighting for whatever's left over. And we have to have somebody who's strong down there, who's got the power to be able to push back against folks who are trying to take what, you know, what is fairly due to our district. And I've got that fire to want to keep going. And so, yeah, I just want to say that. And also just sure appreciate everybody's support over the years, and look forward to continuing this. And I certainly hope that folks vote for me come August 20. So thank you very much.
Neil, thanks for joining us.
Great. Thank you so very much, Ben. Take care.
Thank you.
That was Neil Foster, the incumbent representative for Alaska's House of Representatives, District 39.